when the storm is raging around you. Everything's breaking down. Maybe your hopes and dreams have been shattered. Maybe your health has taken a turn for the worst. Maybe relationships in your lives have been severed or are on the rocks. God says to you, be still and know that I am God. Rest in me. The one who calms the storms and the sea. When the disciples were in the boat crossing the lake, and Jesus was asleep in the bow of that boat, he wasn't worried. And the brothers came and shook him frantically. You can imagine, they were afraid that they were going to die. And they shook him and woke him up. Don't you care that we're going to die? Don't you care? And he said to them, he rebuked them. He spoke harshly to them. Brothers, do you still not believe? Where is your faith? Do you know God expects us to have faith? But having faith is not an easy thing, is it? And Jesus reached out and he spoke to the storm. He spoke to the storm and he said, peace, be still. And the storm subsided. The storm subsided. And then the brothers asked each other, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this? You see, they still didn't understand who this Jesus was. They knew that he was probably a prophet or, you know, and a good man. But did they recognize yet that he was the Son of God? The Messiah? Mm-mm. And they didn't realize all of the power that was contained in this Son of God. Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Friends, this is the Lord that we still serve today. The Lord of the storm. The Lord of the storm. Now, oftentimes in our lives, he will allow the storm to continue, won't he? It just seems that way, doesn't it? It sure does. And sometimes we don't understand where he's going, what he's doing, why he's doing it. And yet, in the storm, we remain. But he is with us there in the storm. He is with us in the storm. And he promises, as that word said, I will never leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I am there with you always. And as Jesus commanded in what we now call the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18, and 19, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And he says, lo, I am with you always. I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Jesus will never leave us. He's always right there beside us. Though the world would spin around in chaos, he is still on his throne. He is not wringing his hands in fear. Oh, what shall I do? This world I've created is falling apart and the people are tearing each other apart. And what shall I do? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Amen. He is still on his throne. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. At the right hand of the Father. You know what that means? Not the left hand. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. That is a position of authority and power. That right hand is a position of authority and power. And Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he says, go into the world and make disciples. Friends, I fear that in the world that we are living in, that the church has become very lazy. And we are all a part of that. And we would ask ourselves, well, how am I being lazy? I mean, I'm here on Sundays. I'm here on Wednesdays, maybe. And you know, I'm doing all these things. And I show up. And I give my tithes. And so what more do you want from me? Right? It's like everybody wants a piece of me. Jesus doesn't want a piece of you. He wants everything. He doesn't want just a piece of you. He wants everything. Amen. So we would say, hey, you want a piece of me? Hey, you want a piece of me right here? Jesus says, no, I don't want just a piece of you. I want all of you. I want all of you. And friends, part of being a believer, part of being a Christian is being able to go out obeying the commands of God and going outside of these beautiful walls and telling people about the good news of Christ Jesus the Lord. That is one of our main responsibilities. At work, telling people about Jesus, showing the love of Jesus. Do you see a need? Meet that need to the best of your ability. Involve other people in meeting that need. I remember one time when I was working at Pepsi in Batavia, and I loved that job. It was a great job. I was making decent money, and I worked a lot of hours, and it was hard work, but I enjoyed it. I really liked it. I liked the responsibility and being able to represent the company, and the Housenicks who owned the company were decent people, and they treated you well, and a good company, and I liked being able to, you know, represent the company and the responsibility that they put on me to represent them in a sense to other companies, right? So I worked for the vending part of Pepsi, which was Loose Ends, they called it. And the company was growing like crazy. And you may have seen their trucks around or things like that. But and so I remember one of our drivers was really hurting financially. And I don't remember if it was a medical thing. I suspect that it was. But I remember when we were driving together that he was saying that, man, geez, I was, you know, just really struggling with that, wrestling with that. And I could tell it was a big weight on his shoulders, you know, and that weighed on my heart as a coworker, as a friend, as a believer, as a representative of Christ himself. And so I began to pray about that. Lord, what can I do? What can I do to help this guy? You know, I'm financially probably worse off than he was, but I wanted to do what I could, you know, and so I scrounged up some money, and I think I gave him $100, and I put it in an envelope, and I just left it on his car seat or underneath his wipers on his vehicle, and I didn't say anything. I just left that money there, and I don't say this to puff myself up. I say this just to show you an option of, you know, of meeting a need where you are. All right? And just because I was not in a position to where I had excess money, that was not the case at all. I really had to scrounge to come up with whatever I could. I had a young family, and I think I was fairly new at the company, but somehow I was able to pull that money together, and I left it for him. And I didn't hear anything about it or anything like that, and that was not the reason why I did it. You know, sometimes we like to hear, oh, thank you so much, and we like to get the pat on the back, and the Bible says when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Amen. All right? All right? You know what that means, right? Don't let anybody know what's going on so that you would get glory for it. Because if you do, and when you do things like that, that's all you get. All right? You have gotten your reward if you're seeking the glory for it. Okay? And so I just was able to, you know, scrounge up some money, and I put it together for this guy and just helped him out. And the Lord blessed me for that. And, you know, I can't put my finger on exactly what God did to bless me for that. And that's kind of part of it. But it's like God puts all of these things together because of your heart attitude. You're wanting to help other people, right? And so God blesses you in giving. And the Bible says that pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. Pressed down, right? As if you had this big can, let's say like a big coffee can. You remember those big coffee cans that they got out there? Not the plastic ones, but the tin ones, right? It's like you had coffee in there. All right, and you press that coffee down with this press, you know, and it pressed it down so all the air would be coming out, and it was compressed and it was tight. And sometimes if you shake it, like, it'll jostle itself down, kind of like the chips in your chip bag, right? You open the bag and there's this much bag left and this much chips in there. Well, they kind of, sometimes it'll say that on the bag, you know, product settles during shipping. Which is the reason why you have four chips in this bag. You follow me, though. All right. When it's shaken together, it jostles down. All the air gets out of it. All right. And so God is saying, if you're giving to other people, if you're meeting a need in someone else's life, I'm going to bless you for it. It's like a return on your investment. So what you're doing, you are investing in the kingdom of God. You are investing in God's people. And I can't tell you how many times that I have done that. And I want to tell you something. It's not out of excess that we give. It's not out of excess that we give. All right? We give out of our need for their need, you know? And there is a scripture in the Bible. It just tells the story about somebody who came and gave an offering, if you will. Gave a whole bunch of coins and stuff like that. But this woman, this widow or something, came and she gave everything that she had. And Jesus says to his brothers, did you see that? And can you imagine the context here? Did you see the woman that came and she gave just the one coin? And in people's eyes, it would seem that she gave very little compared to this other one, right? That gave so much, right? But the one gave out of their excess. So it didn't hurt them as much. They didn't feel that release, if you will. But this woman that came and she gave everything, she gave her last coin. She gave out of her need. She gave the last thing that she had. In the same way, God is asking that we give everything that we have to Him. So many times we withhold so much from God. We're afraid of what He might do in our lives, so we withhold things from Him. Do you understand? Sometimes we withhold from God the things that we are embarrassed of. Sometimes we withhold things from God that we're not quite ready to relinquish to Him. Yeah? And that could be filled in with so many different things. We're reluctant to give up to God our smoking. We're reluctant to give up to God our drinking. We're reluctant to give up to God a certain TV show. We're reluctant to give up to God our Wednesdays or our Sundays because it's football season or whatever the case. And you guys can fill in the blank. Honestly, there's a million different things that you can put in there. What are you withholding from God? He desires that we give ourselves completely to Him. And whatever we give to God, He is able to bless, to pour in blessings. He opens the floodgates, if you will. It's as if there is a huge gate, if you will. All right? Do you ever see those, I don't know what else to call it, but a dam or a lock. All right? Like up on our canal over here. Right? They lift up those locks and the water just floods in. It's kind of like that. All right? When we give of ourselves to God, when we give of ourselves to other people, we're investing in the kingdom of God. And He opens up those floodgates and the blessings come pouring down. The blessings of God come pouring down. Friends, what have you invested in the kingdom of God? What have you invested in the kingdom of God? Now, there's a number of things that we can invest. We can invest our time. We can invest our money. We can invest study. We can invest in other people. There's people that I've heard of that will support someone else that they know is up and coming in ministry or something like that. God will put it upon their hearts. Well, I know that this person, I feel that God is laying this on my heart by His Holy Spirit, that this person is going to be in ministry or full-time ministry or something like that. And so they will invest in that person financially. And I think that in many cases, we have become so comfortable in the church of God here that we, when we go home, as soon as we leave the building, our focus is back on normal activity. Our jobs, our families, cooking dinner, all right, our favorite TV shows, and so on. Mowing the lawn. But we've got to shift our focus, friends. We've got to train ourselves. We've got to train ourselves to think like Jesus thinks. We've got to train ourselves to think the way God thinks. We've got to train ourselves to see other people the way God sees other people. This, friends, is where we fail. I want you to think about something here. This is not what I planned on speaking on at all this morning, all right? But it's been on my heart, and I've been praying about it just for myself. But I see this across the American churches, that we are very comfortable. We're very comfortable. We got great praise teams, right? We got a wonderful praise team. Bill, you do a fantastic job leading brothers and sisters. And, amen. We got a great priest. We got a good, we've got good graphics, and we've got a beautiful building. And so, you know what? Sometimes Christians, we kind of worship these things, although we would never say that. We worship the worship. We worship the service. We worship the building. We worship the leaders. This can't be. All that stuff can disappear. We need to understand what is of great importance in our services. And you know, there's something that's been weighing on my heart, and I feel like we do a good job here and that we really make an emphasis on the leading of the Holy Spirit, you know? And that when the Spirit moves, friends, that's where we're going. I may have a message prepared for that day, but I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit. Amen. If God decides to move, and you know that is the case as today, okay? But when we leave the building, are we thinking about other people? Are our hearts grieved to see other people that don't know Jesus? When was the last time you invited someone to church? I just want you to ask yourselves this question, okay? When was the last time you asked someone to church? Another question. When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus? Not the same thing. Right? Not the same thing at all. All right? When was the last time you met someone else's need? You see, these are a part of being a believer. These are a part of being a believer. And yes, we have good services here. The Spirit of God moves here. There is a great love for each other here at Alabama. But I think that the American church overall has been reluctant to fulfill the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples of men. So does that mean I got to go to Africa to win souls for Jesus? Maybe. Maybe. But most of us won't ever get there. Right? Does that mean that we're out of the picture here? No. You could support those who might go to Africa. You can speak what he's meaning when he says, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. He's saying, win people. Win people to me and for me. Wherever you can. If you can get to Africa, go to Africa. If you can win somebody at the gas station, do that. If you can win somebody at Walmart, do that. Amen. Whatever you can do, do it. All in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Are you frustrated when you see empty seats? Are you frustrated when you see a lack or an apathy? I would question you today, as I'm questioning myself, friends, okay? I'm not pointing the finger unless I'm pointing it at me first, okay? I'm with you, okay? When was the last time we invited people to church? When we're done with church, and I am so guilty of this, when I'm done here, it's like I'm whipped, right? You guys feel whipped when you're done with church sometimes? Okay? Especially those that are ministering here and have jobs to do. It's a big deal. So when you're done, you feel like, oh my goodness, right? And I've done my thing until Wednesday night prayer meeting. All right? But really, our lives as believers begins when we go out these doors. That's really where the rubber meets the road. When we go out these doors, what are we doing to represent Jesus to the world? And that doesn't mean that we're shoving the gospel down their throats. That doesn't mean that we're pointing a finger at everybody. Stop swearing. Stop drinking. Stop smoking. No. That is not what we're to do. That is judging, okay? That's God's job. That ain't our job, okay? But we show, friends, we show the love of Jesus to others wherever we are, whenever we go. When we're sitting down at the dinner table, when we're walking along the road, as the Bible would say, when we're out in the fields, as we're driving, as we're talking on the phone, as we're texting, as we're on Facebook, where is our representation of Jesus in our daily lives? Think about that. I want you to really, I want this to make you really uncomfortable. Uncomfortable to the point to where it'll motivate you to do better. And so the way that we do that is we look internal. We take inventory, as my dad used to say. We take inventory on our spiritual lives. How often do we do this? When I was younger, we would do what we call street witnessing. And we would just go out, and the plan was, and we had some tracks and things like that, and we would just go out on the streets in the city, and we just pass these things out and just talk to whoever was there. That was kind of dangerous sometimes. And there was times when people really got upset just because you represented Jesus. And they didn't like it. Other times, there were people that were really, really searching, and you were able to lead people to Jesus, you know? And we just kind of went out, and we did it, and there was a bit of a rush there because you just don't know how people are going to react, right? Excuse me. But I think the witnessing has really come down and down and down and down. Now, we as a culture are very independent. All right. In other cultures, they are very family interdependent, and many of the generations of the family, sometimes three generations in a family, will live in the same, right in the same house. They'll keep building on the house and things like that. But we as a culture are very independent. You know, we've got to the point to where we don't really need people. We can pretty much do things ourselves, right? Where in other cultures, they are dependent on so much and on everyone for everyone to be able to survive. And our independence has come out of our abundance of things, right? We don't need much here in our country, in most cases. We don't need other people, all right? We can just go to the store and get all of our food. In most places, some other countries, they can't do that. You can't go to a store. You grow what you need, all right? And there is an interdependence on each other. And I think that because of that abundance here in the States, we don't necessarily need each other so much anymore. Although I will say this, COVID-19 has sure shown us how much we really depend on each other and how much we really do value that interaction, don't we? Yeah? There's some people I haven't seen now in months that I would see on a weekly basis, you know? But I want to tell you that we have to shape our thinking to God's thinking. What are we doing to meet the needs of others? And I'm not talking just in the family of God, though I think that should be first. And the Bible demonstrates that. All right? Care for the saints, all right? And then care for those that are outside of the body of Christ as well, all right? Those that don't know Jesus, show them Jesus in the way that you live. Show them Jesus in the things that you say. When we leave here, that's where the mission begins. Some of you here have been to Guatemala, to Mexico, to other places around the world, you know, Harvest Hands, in different places like that. But, you know, when we leave the building, I've been to some churches that, you know, when you're walking out the doors, it says, outside of these doors, you are stepping into the mission field. Okay? Our mission field is wherever we are. Our mission field is our home. Our mission field is our workplace. Our mission field is our schools. Our mission field is wherever we are. Do you understand? And you don't have to wait. Let me correct some thinking here. You don't have to wait for an opportunity to be provided for you to speak Jesus to somebody. You can create those opportunities. And I'll tell you one more story, and I'll close with this. When I was working, again, at Loose Ends Vending, at this time I had my own route, and this was the last route that I had before I got hurt on the job. And this route became literally a ministry to me. You've heard me say this probably many times, but I was driving one of those big old step vans, they call them, and I would get down on my knees, and the sun was not yet up, and I was at my first account, and I would get down on my knees in the back of that old truck, and I would pray a prayer, God, send me to the people that need you today. And he would, friends. He would do that. And you know what? I kept a little notebook in my pocket with names and prayer requests and struggles that they were having. Anything that would do with their lives, maybe things that they were really into. So there was a point of communication. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And so I kept a little notebook in my pocket. And it became, I'm telling you, it was so busy with ministry as I'm doing my job, I could hardly keep up with things. And I'd come home and tell my wife, and she knows these people by names because we're praying for them while we're at home. Sometimes she'd say, hey, how's so-and-so doing? She never met them, but it was somebody at one of my accounts that really needed prayer. And so I would follow up. Next time I'm there, I'm following up with, you know, this person and following up what's going on in their lives. And they could tell that I cared. And sometimes I was even able to pray with them right there in the middle of their job, the middle of my job, praying for them. What a ministry. Friends, take our eyes off of ourselves. Put our eyes on other people around us. May the ministry begin when those doors open. We used to have a horse. Would you stand with me today? We used to have a horse when I was younger. Her name was Oki. Oki. She was big. She was really smart. She was a great horse. But we kept her in this small barn sort of thing, and when I would let her out in the morning, I would have to unlock that thing. And as soon as I unlatched it, I would have to throw that door back and jump out of the way. Why? You remember, Tam? She was heading out that door. She wasn't going to wait until you opened up. She would burst through that door, and you'd get knocked on your rear end. She was ready to be outside. May your hearts be like that today. May you be like a horse that is let out of the stall, that is ready to go. May you do that from this point on. May God's Holy Spirit, and I want to pray after Bill leads us in a song here, I want to pray for you. And I want to pray that God's presence and His Holy Spirit would embolden you to speak when you are content to be silent. To lead when others are content to follow, to stand up when others are content to sit. Let's pray together. Jody, would you come stand next to me? You're not afraid of me, are you? Let's pray together, brothers and sisters. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today. And I pray a move of your Holy Spirit over all of these people and those that are watching today. I pray a mighty move of God in their hearts. I pray that you would empower them by the power of your Holy Spirit, O God, that you would empower them with a passionate love for other people, a concern. Father, I pray that you would open their eyes, that they would be able to see the needs of other people. I pray that you would embolden them, that they would not be silent, but that out of their love and care for you and for your people, that it would motivate them to speak when they are afraid to speak. That they would stand up when at one time they were content to be seated. That they would lead where at one time they would only follow. In the power of the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, may it be so from this day forward, and all of God's people said, amen.